Today on NFL Fantasy Live, it's Football Friday as week three of the preseason rolls on. A ton of games tonight, breaking it down, what you should be watching for. And later on, our Fantasy Two-a-Days heads to the NFC East. We're going to talk Tony Romo, Dez, and the rest of the boys. How will the Giants rebound in 2014? You did say it's Friday, right? You know what that means. Adam Rank is going to reveal his like-dislike wide receivers. All that and more as NFL Fantasy Live starts right now. Welcome to NFL Fantasy Live, presented by DirecTV. I'm James Cole, alongside Marcus Grant, Adam Rank, Akbar Baja, VM Miller, the best name in fantasy sports.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Quick question for you, Akbar.
Yeah.
Better socks, Adam Rank or Marcus Grant?
I'm going to go with Adam Rank.
Oh, thank you.
Sorry, we're going to see that later in the show as well. All right, let's dive into the action from last night. There were quite a few storylines, to say the least, in Philadelphia yesterday as the Eagles took on the suddenly legally challenged Steelers. Nick Foles there. He had himself a pretty nice night. Watch this. A pass to Brent Celek and then fights off one tackler and then
I'm a man!
I'm 40! I am a man! I don't know if Brent Celek's 40, but his helmet did blow up there. He dusted himself off and would play. Here's LeSean McCoy setting up the
block. Turf toe!
I love it.
This is why I should be number one.
That guy is good.
LeSean McCoy, shady to say the least. Here's Darren Sproles, though, fighting his way forward.
He's still
a touchdown for him and a pretty good evening for him as well, 33 yards on just six carries. But Ben Roethlisberger,
that's my boy, Big Ben.
A little something-something here, finding Heath Miller.
There it is.
Beautiful pitch and catch to Heath Miller. All right, later on, third quarter, Eagles handing off to some fellow named Matthew Tucker.
What?
46 yards.
There it is.
46 yards and two touchdowns on the night for Tucker as the Eagles hold off the Steelers in a 31-21 victory. All right, lots to look at here, obviously, in that game. Some takeaways here. We saw Macklin also get injured, not pictured there. We're going to see it in just a moment. What were your takeaways from that injury?
I'm out.
You're out.
I'm done. I can't. I don't have the constitution to sustain. I can't go through a full 16 games like that this year. I love his potential. I love his talent and everything like that, but watching him, just seeing that happen, I'm like, oh no. And I feel bad for him. I watch, you know, some of the other guys, you know, this offseason go through injuries like that. And you feel for these guys. But with Mac,
I mean, look
at
this.
It seems to happen too much. Oh, it's ugly.
Oh boy, yeah, I've seen that before. That looks like a little hyperextension, whatever it is. I'm not a doctor, but I can say I love the fact that he was able to come back. And that's that toughness that they want to see for the Philadelphia Eagles. And if you're a fantasy owner, you should be encouraged by his return.
Akbar, if you were a player in that situation, you get kind of dinged up in a preseason game. Good idea, bad idea to come back.
Well, this is one of the most important games for a veteran, so it is important for you to come back because you're about to take a little off for the, you know, week four. You want to get back into it, so you want to play week three. You're showing your teammates, the coaches, everybody that, look, I'm the man. Macklin wants to be that guy.
Le'Veon, convince me, I'm in.
good.
Le'Veon Bell, LeGarrette Blount obviously got into a little bit of legal trouble before this game. From a fantasy perspective, a lot of folks looking at little Dree Archer. Is that a guy that we should be talking about? I mean, I've been high on him as a sleeper.
No, but
could he, be moving up those ranks?
I don't know that I'm taking a chance on Dree Archer as anything more than kind of a flex option, maybe even just a late-round flyer sort of thing. They like him. They want to use him as kind of a gadget guy. I'm hearing maybe 10 touches a game.
I mean, zero carries and three receptions for a running back.
He's not the guy who's going to suddenly jump in there if Bell or Blount is gone.
A lot like Dexter McCluster for the Chiefs last year, where he had a lot of exciting plays, but not somebody you could count on from a fantasy perspective.
How about this kid, Matthew Tucker? 10 carries, 46 yards, two touchdowns. People don't really talk about a LeSean McCoy handcuff, but if there is one, is this guy the appropriate ad?
No. I think the talent is in Polk. I mean, they're backup running back. I think he's a guy, Tucker, that you're just going to watch, but obviously no value. If there's injuries, then there's somebody to look at. But that's what this preseason game is for. You want to get a chance at their depth. What do they have at depth so you know what they bring? So if there's an Asiata-type performance like last year, you know, oh, okay, I can plug this guy in for a game.
Marcus Grant, do you agree with that?
Yeah, Chris Polk was the reason that Bryce Brown got moved. I mean, they like what he can offer them.
All right, let's take a look at the Friday preseason schedule, shall we? There it is. Jaguars at Lions. Let's talk about some of the games tonight, what fans should be watching for. And we're going to start with Carolina. Take it on New England. Marcus Grant, give me some points that you're looking for in this game.
The one thing I'm looking for is Kelvin Benjamin to see what he can offer. Obviously, he's the guy who's expected to be the top target for Cam Newton this year in that offense. We've all talked about how questionable their wide receivers are going to be. Kelvin Benjamin made some big plays. We know he's a big body guy. He's a guy they're going to like down near the goal line, can go up and get the football. I mean, he showed that in the national championship game, catching the game-winning touchdown there for Florida State. I want to see if he can do this consistently. I want to see if he can be able to survive against the New England secondary. Then maybe I'll start to put a little stock in him as kind of a mid to late round.
You know what's funny? I think he's going to put up tight end one numbers. I don't know about wide receiver. I mean, the guy's a tight end, man. I mean, 800 yards, 8 touchdowns. I think that's very doable for Kelvin Benjamin. All right, Jacksonville is in Detroit tonight. And for the Jags, we're going to get an extended look to see if Toby Gerhardt is for real. But for Detroit, they've got a new coach, Jim Caldwell. And what I'm really interested in seeing, Reggie Bush, is he going to be the real deal? Is Jim Caldwell going to kind of move away from Reggie Bush, go with Joik Bell, who's the better between the runs tackle? Akbar, how do you see that backfield playing?
I'm going to have to still stick with Reggie Bush. Reggie Bush, to me, is still that guy. I mean, Reggie Bush has everything you need. Of course, he still has the hands. He's very, very active in this offense. So Joik Bell is going to be a guy that's going to help complement. Those guys are going to be a 1-2 punch, but it's going to be a split backfield. But I still believe that the majority of the carries are going to go to Reggie Bush. He's the veteran. He's the guy that I think that gives them the best opportunity and fantasy owners the opportunity.
Well, what's interesting to note is that the Lions did pay Bell during the offseason, which means they're committed to him for at least 3 years. He's going to get on the field. I like both of them, but I like Bell a little bit more.
I think his upside is there, especially considering the injury history surrounding Reggie Bush, although he's been the model of health over the last three seasons. So, all right, preseason battle of New York is going down as well. Giants taking on the J-E-T-S, Jets. Rank, the Chris Ivory, Chris Johnson backfield is something that we should definitely be watching for as well.
I'm absolutely going to be keeping my eye on this one. And the worst thing that ever happened to Chris Johnson was him rushing for 2,000 yards because he got that idiotic nickname, and now that's all everybody has as an expectation for him.
But the dude got paid.
Yes, everything over, you know, anything less than 2,000 yards is a disappointment. But realize last year he was right there in fantasy points with Adrian Peterson. Nobody seems to remember that.
It's crazy.
And now he's going into a backfield with Chris Ivory, who finished the season very well last year. I like both of these guys. I like the values that you get for both of them that you see right there, 6th round, 15th round. They're going to use them a lot on the field together at the same time. They're going to spread out Johnson wide and let him do some things. I like both of them.
Oakland taking on Green Bay. Who better talk about this matchup than the former Raider himself, Akbar Banjo-Biehn-Miller? The running back situation, a lot of question marks there. Who do you like, Maurice Jones-Drew or Darren McFadden?
It has to be MJD. MJD, to me, is the lead favorite here because I think he has more durability. I think he's going to be for the long haul when you're looking at your fantasy roster, a guy that can carry the ball. Now, with Darren McFadden, he's got that explosive ability. We know what he can do. I was there when he got there in 2008. I've seen the talent in Darren McFadden. I just don't know that he can last an entire season. And if you can't last an entire season, I don't want you on my roster. I'm going to go with MJD.
But you're getting him in the 13th round.
That's true.
That's great price. Yeah. Then you don't have tremendous.
If he's there, but somebody always gets a little anxious, so they see Run DMC, and they go up there and get him earlier than he should be, and then that's where you get into trouble.
Everybody's scared of him now. Nobody wants him. 13th actually surprised me. I'm like, he's going that early?
Yeah.
I like it. Chicago taking on Seattle, the Twin Towers of Marshall and Alshon taking on the Legion of Boom. Akbar, what are you watching for here?
I am watching for Alshon Jeffrey. This is an important game for him. He is going up against the most expensive backfield. We know that they paid Richard Sherman and everybody in that secondary. We know that this is an elite defensive group. And Alshon Jeffrey, how are you going to be for the remainder of the season? If you can do well against them in this preseason game, that lets me know that I am very comfortable taking you as one of my top wide receivers. Of course, he's already that third-round guy. I'm targeting him somewhere in the third round. You heard me say, don't try to take him before me. I know you heard me. Don't steal my analysis. I like Alshon Jeffrey, and that's what I'm watching for.
Alshon Jeffrey is a young, up-and-coming dude. I love his potential. I mean, we talk about a guy who had not one, but two 200-yard receiving games. The guy's an absolute beast.
But the bromance.
The bromance is still there.
Cutler and Marshall. It's still there.
You guys keep talking about Jeffrey. It's all about B. Marshall.
I like it. All right, when NFL Fantasy Live returns, it seems that every summer it's going to bring a new batch of fantasy buzz names. But which ones can you trust? We're going to tell you who's the real thing who's just another summer fling coming up next. And it's the most informative segment in all of fantasy football. It's called Fantasy Two-A-Days, and we're tackling two NFC East teams full of fantasy value and plenty of question marks as well. Check out Cowboys and G-Men right after this. All right, well, welcome back to NFL Fantasy Live. Our Fantasy Two-A-Days rolls on to Dallas. And to talk about it, we bring in our senior fantasy analyst, Michael Fabiano, who's joining us from New York City. Mike, let's start with the quarterback, Tony Romo. He's had two back surgeries in two off seasons. Is there cause for concern? We're watching him go pretty late in drafts. 12th quarterback taken off the board.
And that's why there isn't any cause for concern, because his ADP is so high. Romo looked good to me in that first preseason game, 4 of 5, had a touchdown pass to Dez Bryant. And because the Cowboys are going to be so bad defensively, I expect that they're going to throw the ball a lot, trying to erase deficits in the second half. Scott Linehan likes to throw the football. We know that from his time in Detroit and St. Louis. And this is going to be maybe the most fantasy-friendly team in the National Football League, and they may not win 5 games. I'm drafting Romo late 10th or 11th round as potentially a QB1. And if you get him as a QB2, boy, you got great depth there.
Would I be right in saying that because you take quarterbacks late, this is a primetime target if you employ that strategy?
Yeah. Tony Romo, Matt Ryan, Colin Kaepernick, Russell Wilson, all on that same tier.
All right, let's talk about DeMarco Murray. He's a running back that's going very early in drafts, late first, early second round. I'm worried about that price only because if they're playing from behind, they may have to throw the ball a lot. Should I be worried?
No, you shouldn't, because DeMarco can also catch the ball out of the backfield. Remember, 53 receptions last year, very underrated as a pass catcher. Now, the injury is an issue with DeMarco Murray. Remember, last year was the first time he'd really stayed healthy in a while, but he's in a contract year. He's the featured back. Regardless of what Jason Garrett says about a committee, Lance Dunbar is not going to come home and steal carries from DeMarco Murray, at least not enough to hurt his fantasy value. I recently did my one-man five-round mock draft on NFL.com, and I took DeMarco with the last pick in the first round. That's where he's going to go. Late first, early second. I like his versatility. I like the offense. I like DeMarco Murray.
All right, no love for Lance Dunbar, but Jason Witten is going to be a guy that's commonly drafted as a fantasy tight end. He's a big-name brand, but he's going in the middle rounds because fantasy managers perceive him to be a reliable tight end option. But if you look at his home versus away splits, he's got less receptions, significantly less yards. And you look at the 90-plus yard games he's had at home, 7 versus 0 away. Then there's a touchdown difference as well. By season's end, you look at 850 yards and 8 touchdowns. Looks pretty good. But, Fabs, I got to ask you, knowing the home and away splits, is he a reliable tight end option?
You know what I see, James? I see numbers from a tight end not named Jimmy Graham, Rob Gronkowski, or Julius Thomas. That's what you're going to get. That is exactly what you're going to get at the tight end position. Vernon Davis, same thing as Jason Witten, as Kyle Rudolph, as Zach Ertz, any of these guys. You are going to see good weeks and bad weeks. Tight end is not a consistent position from a fantasy perspective unless you get one of the big three. That's just the nature of this position.
Would you advocate taking Jason Witten in those middle rounds?
Absolutely, if I needed a tight end, but I'm not getting him probably until the 7th or 8th round. I'm not targeting a tight end like Jason Witten at that point. I want to try to get some value there. The guys that I would go after earlier, of course, are Graham, Gronkowski, Julius Thomas, maybe Jordan Cameron or Vernon Davis, but Witten to me is a guy that I'm drafting after round 7.
All right, Michael Fabiano joining us from New York. We're going to talk to you in just a bit, but let's send it over to Marcus Grant and the guys for our look at Dallas's NFC East rival, the New York Giants. Marcus?
Thank you, J-Mo. Our Fantasy 2-A-Day train makes a stop in the Big Apples. We talk about the New York Giants. And, guys, the big offseason addition was Rashad Jennings in the backfield. So we will start there with the Giants running backs. Sorting out that backfield, Rashad Jennings is there. Andre Williams is there. Akbar, start with you. Does Andre Williams make you a little bit nervous about Jennings?
Right? No, not at all. In fact, I like Rashad Jennings. I know what Rashad Jennings brings to the table. I think he's going to really help out this team for the New York Giants. And when I look at it, you're talking about where do you draft Rashad Jennings. That's the big question for a lot of fantasy owners. And it all depends on what type of strategy you're going to employ. If you're going to take a Jimmy Graham in the first round, or you're going to go with a couple wide receivers in the first 3 rounds, this is a very good running back number 2 that you could take in the 4th or 5th round. That's why I like Rashad Jennings. But I tell you, His speed, his ability, his power out of the gate, to me, is incredible for the New York Giants, and they're going to need that in Ben McAdoo's offense.
All right, I don't know. I look at Andre Williams, and I see a guy who's going to fill potentially that Brandon Jacobs role as kind of a hammer there. Is he potentially a flex guy or at least a fantasy vulture to watch out?
He very could well become a flex guy because of the way that that offense is running for the Giants. If you look at the way Eli Manning has struggled, it says to me they're going to have to run the ball probably a lot more than they want to. And as much as I like Rashad Jennings, they got to bring in Andre Williams to come in there and kind of spell him, get his opportunities, become the guy at the goal line too. So I really like him. And plus, he's talking smack with Rex Ryan. That's already.
That's good. That's, if you can keep up with Rex Ryan, that's good.
It's a small intangibles that when you're in the 10th, 11th round, you go, you know what? I like this kid. He's on my squad.
Now, you mentioned Eli Manning. That, of course, brings us to his wide receivers, Victor Cruz being chief among them. And we're looking at the ADPs. Where you see where Victor Cruz is going, he's 44. You're talking about Victor Cruz there in the middle round. But look at the guys coming after him. I mean, Keenan Allen was huge. Cordero Patterson looks like he's poised to break out. Roddy White is a guy who could produce. Let's talk about Victor Cruz in terms of what is coming after him. And I know, Adam, you are not big on the Salsa King this year.
Can we have some real talk here on Victor Cruz? I understand. You look at that. Everybody's all five of those guys. I would rather have any of those five guys than Victor Cruz. The thing about Victor Cruz is you're familiar with him. He's cool. He's smiling. He's got a lot of commercials. He does a cool dance. So you draft him, and then he just sticks on your roster all year and does nothing. If you look over the last couple of years, he didn't score a touchdown in like his last 12 games, but he's on your roster because he's Victor Cruz, and you can't bring yourself to drop him. If there was any other curtain jerker you had on your roster, you would drop him if he wasn't producing. But Victor Cruz, I love him. He's a great guy,
Adam, this is where I'm going to have to ask you to forgive him, okay? That was last season.
This year,
the New York Giants, they have a new offensive coordinator, Ben McAdoo. He's going to be employing the West Coast offense with an up-tempo look to it. So what does that mean? That means Eli Manning, Victor Cruz have to get on the same page because everything is predicated on timing. So if they get the timing of their routes together, defensive backs are going to have a hard time stopping Victor Cruz. I think he could have a good year.
That is going to be one of the burning questions in New
York. I got the finger point already.
I'm telling you, don't sleep on it.
All right, coming up on NFL Fantasy Live, we're going back to backs. It's a debate on running backs. Eddie Lacy or Marshawn Lynch? First round decision you've been waiting for us to answer. And we've all had summer flings. Summer loving, having a blast. Well, some of our fantasy crushes may have been a thing of the past. We're playing a little game called Real Thing or Summer Fling when we return.
Think you can't live without your phone? Wait until you download the new NFL.com Fantasy Football app. Live draft from anywhere and watch in-game video highlights on the go. NFL.com makes fantasy football better for everyone. Download for free at NFL.com/fantasy app.
And you heard him. You can draft from anywhere, just like if you were on the beach.
Anywhere.
That's what Akbar wears to the beach.
Actually, yeah. My buddy got pulled over by the cop
right,
and was drafting while he was writing his ticket for speeding. How about that?
I like that, bro. That's a true believer. All right, if you're like Adam Rank, you know all too well about summer flings. So in this segment, we're calling summer fling a real thing. We take a look at some players who had tons of buzz this summer and ask the question, are they the real thing, as in good long-term fantasy production, or are they a summer fling, a player who looked good on paper, but now that we're heading out of summer, looking not so great. All right, we're going to begin with Zach Stacy. He was a fantasy MVP for a lot of managers last year. He was a stud. But can he repeat his production from last year? Marcus.
You know, we had a good thing going for a while, Zach, but I think it's time that we have to say goodbye.
A summer fling?
I think it is. It's a summer fling with Zach Stacy. Look, Sam Bradford is healthy. He's back again. They're going to use a lot of the passing game. We talk about the wide receivers they have there. And plus, Zach Stacy got a lot of his production last year by circumstance. A lot of guys were injured. A lot of guys fell by the wayside. And Zach Stacy was originally about the fourth or fifth guy on that depth chart. I don't see him getting the same number of touches this year as he did in 2013.
Eric Decker, 1,200 yards, 11 touchdowns last year in Denver. He goes to New York. Fling or real thing for the Jets, Akbar?
Oh, no, that was my summer fling. That's it. I got what I needed out of Eric Decker last year, okay? But, I mean, we already know it was well documented for the New York Jets what they needed. They needed a wide receiver because they were starving at the position. They went out and got Eric Decker. But here's the thing for Eric Decker. He's being downgraded at the quarterback position. None of those quarterbacks for the New York Jets is Peyton Manning. So he's not going to get that same type of production because there are no other wide receivers on that roster but him.
In Jacksonville, they added Adrian Peterson's longtime backup in Toby Gerhardt. Unproven, lots of buzz, Rank, Fling, a real thing.
I want to say real thing, even though he and I grew up in the Inland Empire, way outside of the beach. He is going to be the real thing down there in Duval. I like this guy coming in and taking over the job. To me, it reminds me of what Michael Turner did when he backed up LaDainian Tomlinson for so many years, was able to go up, get a job of his own, and really flourish. You see this guy, he's good inside, he's good outside, he catches the ball, he runs it up the gut, he runs it so strong, there he is. Mm. Stuff like that is what we're going to get out of him. And plus, who's backing him up down there? I don't foresee Jordan Todman coming in and taking any
you
of
don't?
The reps. I don't. This is going to be
very quickly, I know you're not as high as Adam Rank on Toby Gerhardt.
But I like Toby Gerhardt, but I just don't think he's going to be that guy for the Jaguars.
In Cleveland, Terrence West, the unknown rookie out of Towson. Rank, you can't comment here. Marcus, should we buy the hype train?
I really thought this was going to blossom into a fantastic fantasy romance. I am not quite so big on it anymore. It looks like Ben Tate has kind of earned that job as the number one there in Cleveland. But I'll say this, Terrence West, I'm not going to lose your phone number.
Bishop Sankey, the rookie out of Washington, right after the draft, everybody was high on this guy in terms of fantasy production. Rank, are you still high on Bishop Sankey?
Not as much. One of the first questions I had about Bishop Sankey was his pass pro. Because the one game I really saw him in college, he was blown up by Oregon. But then everybody told me, Daniel Jeremiah, everybody was like, no, he's good, he's good. He can
three down back, three down
great.
Back, right.
And then this preseason, he hasn't been as good as advertised. And then I saw him get blown up in pass pro. And now I can't trust the guy. He's probably going to go a little bit too high in the draft. You see right there, seventh round. That's too rich for me. I'll take a chance. I'd rather have Terrence West, to be honest with you, because at the end
we
of the season.
You know you would, pal.
At the end of the series, I told you I would get in on Terrence West. You will not stop me. You can run all the Bishop Sankey video you want. I'm going to use it to talk about Terrence West.
All right, I like it. Listen, Golden Tate goes from one of the most run-heavy offenses in the league to one of the most pass-crazy in Detroit, at least last year. Look, they got a new head coach in Jim Caldwell. Akbar, is Tate a fantasy fling or real thing?
Well, you just said he's the real thing because he's in a pass-happy offense, and then he's got Calvin Johnson who's going to demand a lot of attention. Whenever you have a dominant number one like Calvin Johnson on any roster, it's going to allow that number two guy to get with it. And Golden Tate, he knows how to be productive when his opportunity and his time is called.
Let me ask you this. Jim Caldwell, when we saw him in Indy, they ran a very balanced attack. Schwartz is gone in Detroit. Any concern there, not just for Golden Tate, but how about for Calvin Johnson as well?
Well, no, you're going to go towards your threat. I mean, Calvin Johnson is the producer. He's going to be the guy bringing the milk for the offense. So by that, you're going to have Golden Tate, who's going to be able to be the benefactor of a lot of the stuff that's not going towards Calvin Johnson.
Adam Rank, let's go around the horn very quickly. Biggest real thing for you?
Ooh, the biggest real thing?
Terrence West. Say it, buddy.
Can I not say Terrence West? Is that? No, Toby Gerhardt for me. I believe what I say. I believe he's going to take over that job and be very good this season.
Marcus Grant?
Well, I'm big on Toby Gerhardt. I'll go with Devontae Freeman as well. I think he's really picking up steam down there in Atlanta.
Yes, you can. Akbar's huge on that guy as well.
Yeah, I'll tell you, my big real thing is going to be Cordero Patterson. I think he's going to come out of somewhere. And
yes. For me, I love the ADP of Michael Floyd. I think he's going to go crazy this year. I really do. I like him a lot.
I'm going to talk about him in a little bit. I won't let you know which way I'm going, but I like him.
All right. Coming up after the break, we're looking beyond Friday to Saturday's preseason matchups. Our experts share their favorite games along basically what to watch for as well. NFL Fantasy Live is in the house.
Those kids are stealing our towels.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Sadly, we're out of our swimwear. Back in shoes.
Pretty quick, too.
We're good like that.
All right, we already took a look at some of Friday's games, but since we don't have NFL Fantasy Live this weekend, let's take a look at some of Saturday's preseason schedule for week 3. On there, you see Buccaneers at Bills, Titans, Falcons, some really interesting teams out here, and of course, tons and tons and tons of fantasy assets as well. All right, the Saints versus the Colts. Marcus, truly an embarrassment of riches when we're talking about fantasy assets, but you're going to go super deep on me here. Talk to me about what you're looking for in this matchup.
I'm looking for Hakeem Nicks. I know the Colts have a lot of receivers. They've got T.Y. Hilton and Reggie Wayne, but Hakeem Nicks showed me something last week. He obviously had an awful season last year with the Giants, didn't score a touchdown, but he looked really good against the Giants last week, and I'm watching to see if it was an anomaly, if he was just fired up to play his old team, or if he really has something going with Andrew Luck. There are a lot of targets to go around there, and If Knicks can pick up a few, that's going to help his value.
Very interesting. We know the talent was at least there early on for New York. We'll see if that can translate for the Colts. Akbar, talk to me about Tennessee versus Atlanta. Jacquizz Rodgers, Devontae Freeman. Who should people be targeting as a handcuff to Steven Jackson?
Well, it has to be, to me, Devontae Freeman. He's the clear-cut winner in this situation because when I look at Steven Jackson, I'm really nervous because he hasn't had an opportunity to get out on the field. But when you look at Devontae Freeman, you see a guy 5'8", 200-plus pounds, who's built tough like a Ford, and he's got that mentality. And the way he's been running that stretch, he has the patience that the running back needs, the vision to stretch, and boom, make that cut. He's a one-cut type of guy. And then he can show his ability, as he's doing right there.
That was beautiful.
Showing his ability to run run routes and catch the ball. That was a nice little wheel route there. Devontae Freeman is my guy.
Let me follow up with you here. When I ask you Devontae Freeman versus Jacquizz Rodgers, I think the fan at home is going to look at both those guys. They're built similarly. They kind of run similarly as well. But you really are strong on Freeman this year.
He's more durable than Jacquizz Rodgers. Jacquizz Rodgers is a change-up type of running back. He is your every-down back. You're going to get that out of Freeman.
All right, Marcus, the Vikings are taking on the Chiefs. Again, lots of interesting players here. But I want you to throw a little coal into that Travis Kelce hype train.
Get your shovels ready. It's coming. I mean, look, Travis Kelce has shown me something in the first couple of weeks. First off, the guy has some wiggle to him. I mean, yeah. You watch him catch the football. He makes guys miss after the catch. He obviously has the two big, long catch and runs for touchdowns. But, I mean, watch him here. The way he
shakes guys,
the way he breaks tackles. The Chiefs don't have a lot of consistent pass catchers. I mean, they've got Dwayne Bowe, but he's been so up and down.
Yeah.
They are needing another guy to give Alex Smith an outlet target there. Travis Kelce could be that guy. I talked to Gil Brandt, by the way. And it'll
the
be
Godfather.
A piece coming up on NFL.com very soon. But he described Kelce as being like a 7'3" center playing against 5'10" kids. I don't know what it means, but I love it.
It sounds like he's rad.
Right? Exactly.
Well, you saw the last clip right there, too, where he's outrunning the secondary. He's not outrunning a linebacker in a mismatch. He's outrunning the secondary, and that's important enough.
All right, Rank, let's stay with you. Houston versus Denver. You know I love me some second-year wide receivers. Can you build the hype train for DeAndre Hopkins for me?
DeAndre Hopkins was fantastic last season, but the thing that derailed him was the quarterback play. But I look for him to have another strong year to build on that. Even if Ryan Fitzpatrick is there, he's still going to be able to have the ability to go out and put together a strong season. Because look at what Josh Gordon did last year with the cavalcade of terrible quarterbacks that he played with. I mean, they were running out all sorts of curtain jerkers and mid-card jobbers, and Josh Gordon still went out there, had one of the best game or had one of the best seasons of a second-year receiver in recent memory, and now DeAndre Hopkins is going to do it. I don't want to tip my hand on Andre Johnson, because we're going to talk about that next. But if I had to have one of those two Houston, I don't want to spoil it, but DeAndre Hopkins, he's my business.
Yeah, that's my guy, too.
Solid wrestling references as well. All right, next on NFL Fantasy Live, if you can't decide between PPR studs Danny Woodhead and Shane Vereen, well, our experts will debate which running back to nab in your fantasy drafts. And later, if you're new to the game, heck, even if you're a grizzled veteran, the boys and I are going to give you some respective draft strategies as well.
Steps up, looks, throws in the middle. Touchdown, Reggie!
Sleeping, got it! Touchdown! Kendrell Perkins!
Take your draft to the next level with the official fantasy draft board of the NFL. It includes easy-to-use player label stickers and room for up to 16 teams in 20 rounds. Go to NFL.com/draftboard for more information. And it's time now for Like, Dislike, presented by Corona. Every week I publish my likes and dislikes in sports, TV, movies, so much more. Think about this. The Angels swept the Red Sox. Cena got squashed. You better believe I have an opinion on all of that. But let's deal with the fantasy football right now and hone in on the receiver position. And we start with Antonio Brown. Now, if you've looked at our ADPs, the Steelers receiver is going off the board in the third round in most drafts. And I have one question for you people. What is your damage? The only receiver better than him in the second half of the year was Josh Gordon. Now, Brown finished seventh overall among receivers last year, and he was targeted a ton. But with a bunch of new faces at receiver for Roethlisberger, Brown could be targeted even more. So make sure you take Brown in the second round. Next up is Roddy White.
Let me tell you, Roddy's one of us. He battled injuries last year, but he let us fantasy enthusiasts know by saying, hey, look, if I don't practice, don't play me. And we followed his advice. And when he did return, he was amazing. Wright was one of the most targeted receivers in December last year. And with Tony Gonzalez gone, who do you think picks up that production? Well, yeah, it's Roddy. Seriously, why do you think I would have brought that up? And let's go on. One more like. I'm going to go with my guy, Michael Ford. There is a changing of the guard in Arizona. Larry Fitzgerald is now the gutty, move the chain guy, but the big play guy will be Floyd. We saw it last year. There was a three-game stretch when he went up against the Jags, the Colts, and the Eagles. He had 26, 10, and 15 points. That's just a sampling of what's to come. The dude's amazing, and he's coming off the board in the ninth round. And actually, if you get a team with Brown, White, and Floyd, you're going to be winning a lot of games. Now, time to get down a little bit. There's one receiver I don't like this year, and it's Dre Johnson. I was a little puzzled. The good folks at Madden gave him such a high player rating this year. I don't see it. I mean, look, he gets targeted a ton. He does catch a lot of action, but he just doesn't get into the end zone. And he's got a similar ADP to a guy like Roddy. And if I had to choose between them, I'd go with the guy with the better quarterback. I go with Roddy. So there you go. For more of that, check out NFL.com/like/dislike. And this was presented by Corona. With that, James, I throw it over to you.
All right, Adam Rank, James Coe here with Akbar, Baja Biamuller, and Marcus Grant. Time for some player comparisons presented by SAP. We're going to start with some well-known fantasy running backs, some well-known and well-respected commodities. Eddie Lacy versus Marshawn Lynch. Who do you got?
I got Eddie Lacy. And I think Marshawn Lynch will have a decent season, but I worry about the workload he's had over the last few years. More than 900 carries in the past three seasons. Usually, that precedes a fall, and I think Eddie Lacy is a guy who's up and coming. He's a younger guy. He gets a lot more work in the Packer backfield.
And I'll tell you, the concern for me with Marshawn Lynch is we know that for a while now he's been flirting with the idea of retirement. We know that he has some issues, but, you know, you look at him, you know that he's going to run hard, but there's that thing. Is he going to hit that wall? You want to get off. And I saw Bill Polian do this, of course, even with Marshall Faulk. There's a certain time where you want to come off of a running back and say, all right, this guy's getting ready to hit the wall. He has a lot of yards in him. We know that even as a defensive player, when a guy just starts dragging, Marshawn Lynch looked like he's one of those guys. I like Eddie Lacy.
What do you like specifically about Eddie Lacy? We know that since week 7 of last year, he had 10 rushing touchdowns. Man, there's a lot to like about this young player.
What I like about Eddie Lacy in comparison to Marshawn Lynch is, A, he's younger. So you know that he's got a lot of miles to give to the Green Bay Packers. But on top of that, he's got a better set of unit around him. He's got Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb. So you know they're not going to be able to stack 8 in the box against Eddie Lacy because Aaron Rodgers got a live arm. He can throw a strawberry through a battleship too. He can do that and find his wide receivers. So that's going to give Eddie Lacy the lanes and the holes that he needs to hit and, hell, have a bigger year. Then more so than he did last year, he's going to go double-digit touchdown.
Sounds like a waste of good strawberry.
All right, let's stay with some aging running backs here. Look, the writing's been on the wall since the Reagan administration when it comes to Frank Gore. It seems like every year we're talking about this guy's going to see a decline, and every year he's healthy, he plays, he produces. Is this finally the year?
Last year when Frank Gore turned 30, everybody got nervous, and I said, nope, Frank Gore's got one more good year in him. Stick with him. This is the year that Frank Gore's decline begins. Okay. The walls are starting to close in on him. He's been so good for so long, but the Niners are going to start to throw it a little bit more this year now that they have the extra weapons there, and Colin Kaepernick is once again back and developing a little bit more. Plus, you got Carlos Hyde knocking on the door there as the Niners realize they need to start transitioning to a new running back. I think this is the year you start to see Frank Gore maybe take a little bit of a step back. He'll still be a productive running back, maybe a low-end RB2 or a flex guy. He just won't give you the same kind of numbers he has in the past.
Well, it's been a long time since I worked out with Frank Gore, but I remember spending time with him. Nobody hits the offseason harder than Frank Gore. I believe that he's going to be still productive this year.
Marcus Grant, would you rather have Frank Gore or this man, CJ2K, even though we're
not
very
calling
far.
Him that.
Right, right, exactly. Fabiano's calling 0.9K.
Right, I actually probably would go with Chris Johnson this year. I think because the Jets, obviously, they like to do the ground and pound thing, but on top of that, Chris Johnson, I get the feeling, will line up on the field with Chris Ivory at the same time this year. He can run it, obviously. We know that. We know what he can do there. But They're going to split him out. They're going to throw the ball to him. He may line up in the slot occasionally. There are going to be a lot of varied opportunities for Chris Johnson.
Let me add this. Here's what a defensive coordinator is going to do when they look at the New York Giants. They're going to look at that and say, okay, they've got Eric Decker. Okay, solid wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Who else do they have there to help them in the passing game? They don't have another wide receiver, so it's going to be very easy to stack up against Chris Johnson. He's going to get frustrated. We're going to see some of the same old habits that we saw. We know that they try to get that offensive line together, but I don't think that there is going to be as easy for Chris Johnson. I just don't see it.
You like Frank Gore over Chris Johnson?
Frank Gore, come on.
All right, let's talk about PPR machines. We got Shane Vereen, my boy out of Cal, versus Danny Woodhead.
You love Cal, don't you?
I had to got to throw it in there a little bit. Plus, our college team is down this year. Can I celebrate a little
bit? Okay, go ahead.
All right. Shane Vereen or Danny Woodhead. Marcus, we'll start with you. Who do you like?
I'm going Shane Vereen here, and I do that because I think he's in a better situation. He's in a situation where the Patriots, I don't know how much they trust their other running backs. We know that Stephen Ridley is always one fumble away from ending up back on the bench. We talked about James White about a week or so ago, but watching him on film, he looks sluggish. He looks indecisive. I think he's going to take a while to develop. Vereen, obviously, we know what he does as a pass catcher. He may end up running the football as well when it's all said and done.
Buddy, how can you pick Shane Vereen? You have a hashtag. It's called Bellatrix. How are you going to pick Shane Vereen? I don't get it. It don't make any sense.
He seems immune to Bellatrix. I mean, you look at what he did last year after missing a good portion of the season. Okay. I mean, he still averaged 7 yards per touch, missed 8 games, but still was one of the best running backs out there.
I think we're missing it because Danny Woodhead, to me, is the key here because Danny Woodhead is so versatile that you can use him in multiple looks, and that's what makes him so dangerous. You can line him up as a tough boy and put him in the backfield and let him run. He'll hit it because he hides well behind the offensive linemen. Defensive linemen have a hard time finding him, and then when he gets out there in open space, he makes it happen. I like Danny Woodhead over Shane Vereen.
I don't want to call him a mini Darren Sproles, but because they're about the same size, they're both about 5'5". But when I look at Danny Woodhead, he does a lot of what Darren Sproles does.
It's called wiggle wiggle. Wiggle wiggle.
All right, if you want to compare fantasy players like a pro and make better weekly decisions, be sure to check out NFL.com's player comparison tool, powered by SAP technology. The player comparison tool computes advanced stats in seconds to help you decide who to start and who to sit and oh so much more. That was Player Comparisons presented by SAP. And coming up next, we take a look inside Adam Wainwright's fantasy football charity event. Michael Fabiano was there chilling with the St. Louis Cardinals ace and gives us an inside look. All that and more when we return on NFL Fantasy Live. All right, welcome back to NFL Fantasy Live. Our Michael Fabiano is in New York today. But a couple of weeks ago, he took a trip to St. Louis to check out Cardinals pitcher Adam Wainwright as the Cardinals ace hosted his fantasy football charity event. Here's an inside look on what went down.
Hi, everyone. Michael Fabiano here from NFL Fantasy Live. We're in front of Busch Stadium in St. Louis in anticipation of Adam Wainwright's fantasy football charity draft. It's an amazing event, all for BigLeagueImpact.org.
This is our second year doing it. We're having a great time. People from all over the country have shown up to play with us. We're going to be helping charities across the board with many people who need help. It's just very rewarding.
Today, by the way, by your participation alone here in St. Louis, nearly $300,000 has been raised.
It's really been a fun way for me to engage sometimes with the fans, and then obviously now to be able to do it and be a part of it for charity and to raise money for a good cause. I mean, I bought in. I'll be a lifer now.
I kind of mix fantasy football and real football. I like the subs, the bottom players. That's how I do it.
We're going to auction off before we start drafting to the highest bidder and have Michael Fabiano as their consultant during the draft today.
Trey, what's the bidding start at?
Bidding for Michael's services.
I'm insulted.
You are the winner of our fantasy expert for $1,100.
I need all the help I can get. I was reined in at the very last minute to do this, so the person I'm filling in for, I'll be passing on the bill to him.
She actually used someone else's money to bid on me to help her. Tell me your draft strategy.
Mostly running backs first, then going to the receivers.
Get Menzel as early as possible. I got 11 other people sent over here looking for that scouting report right now, so I'm not giving it.
Find help from somebody who knows what they're doing.
Your first two picks were?
Running backs.
And you were a?
Running back.
This is what I'm saying.
Kurt keeps texting me during the draft, asking me who he should draft.
I'm just kind of letting him know who I got, and I need that pat on the back because I really have no idea what I'm doing.
He will text me during the regular season and tell me that I was wrong. He doesn't give me any credit when I actually make one right. But if I'm wrong, forget about it.
You had the first overall pick and you took DeMarco Murray.
Well, I'm trying to win this league, so I thought he'd give me my best chance.
This is going to provide bragging rights and topic of conversation for the rest of the year, so I'm glad to go ahead and get this done.
Repeat after me. I'm Kurt Warner, and I love fantasy football.
I'm Kurt Warner, and I play fantasy football.
Come on, man. This has been a fantastic cause, and it really shows the growth of fantasy football, not only as just a hobby, but as something that brings people together for a very worthy cause.
Oh, man, that was good stuff. Michael Fabiano joins us live now from New York. Fabs, that had to have been pretty fun, man. Talk to me about what was your favorite part about that whole situation.
Well, I just love the fact that something I'm so passionate about, fantasy football, can turn into such a great event that is such a worthy cause. BigLeagueImpact.org, these baseball players, these big name guys playing fantasy football with the fans for charity. It's just another reason why fantasy football is the greatest thing ever, James. It's the best.
You're preaching to the choir, my man. Hey, by the way, $1,100 for your services? That seems like an awfully steep price, pal.
I couldn't believe that. I know. Well, here's what happened. Someone had bid $500, and then it got to $600, and then it kind of slowed, and then Kurt bid $1,000, and then someone else bid $1,100. So Kurt helped get the bidding a little higher than it may have gone. Thank you, Kurt.
All right, very good. Thank you so much, Michael Fabiano. And, of course, you can visit the website BigLeagueImpact.org. All right, so we just saw Fabs, Kurt Warner and Marshall Faulk partake in this fantasy draft for Adam Wainwright. We know Fabs will take a quarterback late in his respective drafts. But for you guys, what are some strategies or tips you have for drafting in 2014? Adam, we're going to start with you. You've got something called
an amoeba strategy.
What does that mean?
You know what I'm talking about? Like some night you're sitting at home, you're watching The Purge, and then boom! Varsity Blues is on, and you got to be ready to adapt. You got to go, because Allie Larder's now in that scene that she doesn't want to talk about anymore.
Right.
So you got to be ready to adapt and overcome. So here's what you do. When you're drafting, you go through. There's four running backs who are going the top four. We can pretty much agree on that. You're sitting at 5, 6, 7, 8. You got to have six guys ready to go and be ready to do anything. Like, do I got to go quarterback right here? Boom, I'll do that. Am I going Jimmy Graham at 7 and coming back with Demaryius Thomas? I have to do that. Or, if you know what? You could end up being in a position where, let's say, Eddie Lacy falls to you, and then you take a running back again. You could go back old school. So be ready for any situation that's thrown out at you.
This is what happens when you try to delve into the mind of Adam.
You're going like this.
Marcus, you wrote a great article for NFL.com. Is the era of the running back situation dead for fantasy owners?
Wait, now let me check. Fabs is gone, right? Like, he's not here.
You're in a safe place.
You're good.
You don't have to take a running back in the first round. If you're in the top four spots, sure, you get one of those top four guys and you go with it. But if you're sitting there at 7 or 8, don't feel forced to take a running back when Jimmy Graham or Calvin Johnson or Peyton Manning might be sitting out there.
All right. So for myself, I think if you're passing on sleepers late round in favor of an established older name, I think that's a mistake. Anquan Boldin would be a perfect example. Don't take Anquan Boldin in the 15th round. Take a sleeper, and I think prices or the profits will pay. Akbar, how about yourself? A draft strategy for me.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I'm not taking DeMarco Murray with the first pick of the draft. That's the wrong pick. DeMarco Murray is not your first pick. But it's really understanding, like Marshall Faulk said, that's that San Diego State education you guys
Adam,
don't know
there
about
you
that.
Go.
That San Diego State education says, look at the bottom half, because that's going to be the meat of your roster. Mm-hmm. Things are going to happen in the NFL. So if you know thyself, you shall never fear a thousand battle. So if you know the bottom half of the draft, then all of a sudden now that gives you a chance to win your league, like I'm going to do when I beat Adam and take the championship.
Goodness. How many years are we going to go through?
I'm just saying.
The warrior poet.
Yeah.
Akbar, Basha, the Amila. I like it, man. All right, that's going to do it for us today. We're back with even more fantasy on Monday. We're going to dive into the Sunday night matchups and take our fantasy two-a-day adventures to the West Coast, San Francisco, Arizona. See you then.